furlongs in an allowance race up at Arlington on July 12th. Ridden home by Bird and C. Jones and trained by Tom Proctor. Myositis Dan, he's a three-year-old colt by Istan. He's likely to test Stakes Company again in his next start. Istan's also the sire of Albano, a recent winner of the Grade 3 Pegasus Stakes at Monmouth. That's a major prep for the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational. Of Istan Ford, winner of the Grade 3 Arlington Classic the other day and a candidate for the Grade 1 Secretariat. And the graded stakes winner, Mr. Bowling, who recently posted his third stakes win. This one was in Canada. Istan, a multiple graded stakes winner by Gone West, the sign runner. In other recent stakes, proud citizen's three-year-old daughter, Battlefield Angel, won Delaware's Christiana Stakes on July 8th. Bred by Roy Hansen, Battlefield Angel, placed in the Grade 1 Alcibiades Stakes back in April. Proud citizen, also by Gone West, has already sired four champions and two winners of the Kentucky Oaks. And the three yearlings by Majestic Perfection, which were offered at the Phasic Tipton July sale, brought $135,000, $100,000, and $100,000. Istan, Proud Citizen, and Majestic Perfection, all three stand at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones' Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then BristNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BristNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BristNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning. We've got a muddy track at the Thoroughbred Center this morning, and I'm glad to see it because we need the rain. Had a great rain down in Bourbon County, and I guess I'm going to have to mow the whole darn farm again. I just got through mowing it, so I think we're living the summer on that tractor, but I'm not complaining. It's we need the grass, and there you are. It's beautiful. So it's a beautiful rain, nice steady rain. But we're going to have a pretty busy day today, I would think. First of all, Luis, better known as Al Hurrada, said he'd try to get over here this morning. Don't know if he'll be able to make it or not because he's got a horse down in at Ellis Park, but he said he'd come by if he could. I want to talk to Luis because I've been on a roll here lately, saddling all kinds of winners. Well, since last week's show, I think he's saddled three since last week's show. That's right. Well, let me give them to you. Let's see. Stanley Inman saddled one down at, or up, I should say, at Belterra. Luis Hurrado at Ellis Park. Sired all the time. I can't get my tongue untangled this morning. Anyway, he saddled another one at Ellis Park. That was on the 12th and the 13th. That's Luis. Paul Garcia had one at Mountaineer. So did Tommy Skinner. Eduardo Caramori did the same. Luis Hurrado had this one at Mountaineer on the 16th. That's his third winner since last week. Show. Scooter Hughes went up to Arlington and won one with Return of the Rock, and then Chuck Hamilton won one at Indiana Downs. The latter two were yesterday. Well, they're running the Irish Oaks today, among other stakes. Group one, of course. And let's see, the stakes races today up at Saratoga. And incidentally, Steve Moody is back, so he's doing the Saratoga sheet, so he's going to call up and give us the winner of the Diana today. They also run in the Sanford Stakes, which is a Grade 3 race. The Diana's a Grade 1 up at Saratoga. Of course, the Sanford is more noted for the horse that got beat than all the winners. Let's see, what else are they running? The Arlington Oaks is a Grade 3 race at Arlington Park. They're running the Ohio Derby today. It's not graded anymore. How about that? But anyway, it's up at Thistle Downs, of course. Running Woodbine, they're running the Nijinsky Stakes. It's a Grade 2 race. The Angsley Stakes over at Takura and the Minstrel Stakes at Takura, both Group three, and then a group, the group three Hackwood Stakes, I believe that is in England. Anyway, those are the, and Del Mar's grade three San Clemente is today. As I said, they're running into Irish Oaks today. That's the big one. I think it's supposed to come on, be on TV about 12:45, our time. I think that's right. Kentucky time. Entries close August 1. That's a reminder for the November breeding stock sale ad at Keeneland. That's going to be on November 4th through the 14th. Sounds like 10 days of sale. And I want to remind people that there's a celebration of Dr. Doug Byers' life today down in Georgetown at the old Cardone School. If you go get on Broadway and go straight out, I think that's Route 25, I believe it is. Is that route about 25?
Yes, U.S. 25, the Dixie Highway goes straight to Cincinnati.
Like you, just like you're going to Cincinnati, and but it's right on the edge of town. It's, I think you cross a creek there, and you look to your left, and you'll see his, you'll see the Cardone School, all kinds of signs and everything. And all for all you Irish out there, McElhaney has got a four-stroke lead in the British Open today. He was 12 under par as of this morning.
I thought it was McElvoy.
McElvoy, McElhaney.
McElroy.
McElroy.
McElroy. Well, Roy McElroy.
It's that Irishman anyway. Oh. All the Irishmen know. I didn't write his name down. I mean, I just
Mix something.
Yeah. He can write. He just can't read.
Yeah, well, that's right. There you go. And there's an American just... four strokes behind him. Johnson's his name.
I think there's like...
Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson,
yeah. He's laying second right now. He's eight under par, and then there's a whole passel of them with six under. Tiger's not in it. He spit out the bit.
Is this the first one back since his... Second since his operation?
He didn't make the cut the first one back.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
He had a back operation. But anyway, Jackie, you want to start some announcements, or I can go on and do something?
Sure.
Well, go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me see what else we're going to do today. Michael Blowen's supposed to be in here. He always shows up sooner or later, sometimes later, sometimes sooner. Steve Moody, as I said, will be here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, if we have a shot, tomorrow they're running the Coaching Club American Oaks, which dates back. Well, not all that long ago. 1917 was the first running. It was won by a filly named Wistful. And also, she came back in 1947, 30 years later, and won it again. Wistful. So she was a hell of a filly. But anyway, two different fillies, but it's one of them, the latter one was Calumet's filly. So we might be able to talk a little bit about those two. Also, we might take a look at, if we have time, at another one. 1951 winner was Howl by Prince Quilla. I remember her real well. All right. Are you awake over there now?
I'm awake.
Do I have to?
I probably do this asleep.
It's so mentally challenging. Okay. Hats Off Day is next Saturday. That's out at the Horse Park. Free admission. Tons of stuff to do. This is a big one. And if you get there early enough, they give you a free hat because all the farms and everything. It doesn't say Hats Off Day. You might get a Claiborne farm or a Alltech farm or something.
Gentry farm. Matt
gave
over
some,
here pointing to his.
Yeah, he
I
gave
guess
some
that's
hats.
His hat he's pointing at.
Yes. It's on his
head.
How are
you going to shave, by the way?
I can't. I have a 3-year-old just disappointed every time I have to shave.
Oh, you're kidding.
Well, I'd have to disappoint my 3-year-old.
Yeah, life is that way.
Yeah, life is full of disappointments.
Anyway, that's next Saturday, July 26th. Check it out. It's going to be a great lot of fun. It always is. Tuesday through tomorrow is the Pony Club Festival, week-long celebration of Pony Club. 4,000 Pony Club members attend. It's every 3 years. It's a national championship competition. Eventing, dressage, show jumping, polo cross games, tetrathlon. They did for a while. When I did a lot of stuff with Pony Club, they had vaulting. I noticed they got rid of that. I was told that little girls get to a certain age, it's harder to vault. How about that? Isn't that funny? I thought that was funny. Wednesday the 23rd through next Sunday, Central Kentucky Reining Horse Association. There you go over there, Holly. Reining horses.
Hello, cowgirl.
Atta girl. Clayton Woolsey Hall of Fame Reining Show, 5-day reining show named after NRHA, National Reining Horse Association, I would guess. Hall of Famer, shows put on by the Central Kentucky Reining. There will be a QHA, NRHA, and CKRHA, Central Kentucky Reining Horses. Okay. Youth and rookie levels will be open. So give them a call at the horse park if you want more information. Do you want me to go over and check and see if the racing form's here and you talk to Michael?
Well, it wasn't there just a minute ago when
Well, we'll wait a bit.
I went to the porta potty.
Tell that man over there, save Ursula a Sunday form. let's see. July 23rd through the 27th is the Kentucky Summer One Horse Show. It's a 5-day hunter jumper show. First part of the two-part series. The second part's in August. This event, local riders, international riders, even former Olympians, you want to see some good riding, that's the place to go. Headlining this year, the $25,000 Hag-Eared Lexington Classic, the USEF Show Jumping Talent Search, the ASPCA McClay, the $50,000 Rood and Riddle Grand Prix, and the United States Hunter Jumper Association Natural Hunter National Hunter Derby. This is a big deal. This is one of the most professional things they have at the horse park.
Can I interrupt you?
Why not? You always do.
Just why is he asking for permission now?
I don't know. Well, but there's
maybe
people
he's getting older.
Around here.
Yeah, he's being
there's
polite.
People. Yeah. Yeah.
Just on the air, she bosses me around at home.
A couple hours a week.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes.
I just want to make sure he's paying attention.
There you go.
All right. Well, let me take a little break here. We're going to get that was Michael Blowing, as you can always tell. He had finally got here. Well, there are 4 yearlings from the first crop of Trap Shot, that catalog for the upcoming Saratoga sale. Now, Trap Shot's a multiple graded stakes winner. He's by Tappet. Tappet, the number one ranked sire in North America and a son of Pulpit. And he's out of the private account Mare Shopping, the dam of 3 other stakes winners, including the Grade 1 winner and millionaire Miss Shop. Trap Shot won the Grade 2 True North in New York, getting 6 furlongs and 108.4 to win by 8.5 lengths. Won the Waldoboro Stakes, going 6 furlongs and 109 flat. Won the Long Branch Stakes, that was around 2 turns. Won an allowance test at Belmont, 7 furlongs and 122 flat. An allowance race at Gulfstream. Over 12 lengths, broke his maiden by over 10 lengths at Gulfstream, going 6 furlongs and 9-2. Superb individual, any siring superb individuals. There are also yearlings in the sale by the Claiborne Stallions Arch. Of course, he's a proven Grade 1 sire. Blame, winner of the Eclipse Award and a son of Arch. And a proven Grade 1 sire, Flatter. He's a son of AP Indy. For more on the Stallions at Claiborne Farm, give Bernie Sams a call. Go pester Bernie at 859-233-4252 and see the website at Claiborne Farm. com.
First one, I moved to Bourbon County 26, 28 years ago, something like that. I don't know.
I can't remember back that far.
there went the neighborhood. But anyway, we were recommended First Presbyterian Church and the Hopewell Company, and they've done beautifully by us, both institutions.
I haven't been excommunicated from the church
yet. No, yeah. Not yet. They've got a petition going that they don't want you to know about. Anyway.
I'm short about 4 signatures, by the way, last time I checked.
Is that right?
He said, you were off the air, I believe, then, Michael. Oh. He said the petition had a petition going, but they were 4 signatures short.
Well, that's almost the whole church.
At least be able to fix that today.
There are not many more people are going there anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
Anyway. Anyway. Hopewell Company that I was talking about has all kind of experience with horse farms, racing stables, home barn vehicles, horse trailer, liability, and they were there when we needed them. We got struck by lightning a year and a half, I think it was a year ago last February, and they were out there that day, and the next day they started fixing the wiring. Our wires were all singed. So they know the people to call to fix stuff, and they know that the insurance company that they had us with was not going to put up a fight and carry on and drag it out like all that junk. They work for us, not the insurance companies. So they have best coverage, most competitive prices, and they're sound and reputable. Contact them. Hopewell Company. They're prepared. They will give you a no-cost comparison of what you got now. Hopefully, you've got some insurance. That's the Hopewell Company, 820 South Main in Paris, 987-2347. Or you can, they've got a Lexington number, 254-2431. You get great service, I guarantee.
Well, the Clay Ward Agency, they've been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds for over 80 years now, 8 decades. I know all about that. It was founded back in 1931 by Mr. James Clay Ward. That was 20 grand a derby year, incidentally. And, of course, he's gone now. But he established a tradition at the Clay Ward Agency of hard work and service and, of course, a thorough knowledge of the horse business. And that that tradition's carried on today by my friend Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. So if you're going to insure your horses, why don't you do business with people who know what they're doing? And they can get you just the kind of insurance you need, just fit your needs. Let me give you their number. It's a Paris number, 859-987-1861. 1861. Just remember the year that the Civil War started. Now, the Clay Ward Agency is closely affiliated with Indian Creek Farm. It's also over in Bourbon County. Beautiful place. Great place to board your horses, incidentally. And their tradition there is for raising runners and for selling top-quality bloodstock at the major auctions. And, of course, the nominations for the November breeding stock sale at Keeneland close on August 1. So give them a call over there. And let me give you their number. It's another 859 number, 987-7443. They'll do a great job for you. Nice people to do business with, people you can trust. Just ask to give them a call and ask for Shaq Parrish or Nikki Drum. And if you can't remember the phone number, go to their website. It's IndianCreekKY.com. IndianCreekKY.com. That's the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. That's two names that you should be doing business with if you are in the thoroughbred industry. All right, Michael, how are you this morning?
Very well, Ursel.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
You're looking spiffy today. You're going to speak at the memorial for Dr. Byers today. You're looking fabulous. Nice tie.
Yeah, Susan asked me if I would. It's an honor.
Very nice.
And I just hope I can get up there with that boo-hooing.
Yeah, like, I know. It's always.
Aren't you speaking also?
Yes.
Yes.
But I wasn't going to tell them that because I thought if they knew I wasn't going to talk, more people would come.
Oh, well, that's could be there.
Now they know.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about canceling myself. Anyway.
Really. Well, I'm sure it's going to be. It's going to be quite an event because he was quite a person and
so many friends.
Yeah,
he made everybody feel like he was your new best friend.
Yeah,
and
he was my best friend.
There you go.
It was. You know, years ago, when I was writing about the movies, I got to interview the great movie director, Billy Wilder. You know, he made Double Indemnity and Sunset Boulevard.
Terrible movie.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, great movie. But anyway, it wasn't silent. That's what he objected to. They're actually talking.
Yeah, they started talking.
Ruined it.
Yeah,
ruined the whole
thing. All that new technology.
Yeah.
Ruined the whole thing. Anyway, I got to interview Billy Wilder, and he had an office in Beverly Hills that was a long corridor. It was one of those long, like it was like a railroad car. Both sides were covered with books, and his desk was way at the end. So you walk all the way down there, and you sit down, and you talk to him behind that. Well, we talked for about an hour or so, and then time to go. I turned around, and up above the door, as you're leaving, there was a big sign that said, "How would Lubitsch do it?" And Ernst Lubitsch, of course, is a great film director. He made To Be or Not to Be with Jack Benny. It's great, one of the greatest movies ever. And he was a wonderful movie director. And so he had a sign up there that said, "How would Lubitsch do it?" And I turned around. I said, "Mr. Wilder, if you don't mind my asking," I said, "what's that sign for?" He says, "Well, every time I'm writing at this desk and I get to a spot in the script where I'm really stuck, I look up and it says, "How would Lubitsch do it?" And then I can figure out how to do it. So we're going to put up a sign in the barn that says, "How would Dr. Byers do it?"
That's it.
know, as a reminder every day of how much you're going to miss him. But anyway, so that should be quite an event, and he's irreplaceable.
He sure is. Yeah. Talking to a farm manager he said many years, just the other day, and he said many years ago when he was just a young guy and just got his job, you know, and Doc was doing his work out there. And he says, you know, he'd come in and treat my horse, and he would tell me, show me exactly what was wrong with this horse. You know, he says, you know, I was just a punk kid, you know. He says, but he never talked down to you. He would show you.
Love, no, he'd roll his eyes, though.
Love to teach you.
Well, that was particularly you, Michael.
Yeah, well, that was just like you.
Like talking to a tree.
Yeah, but that's the way he was, you know. I mean, man had no ego whatsoever. You know, no. He was just a wonderful person.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, what else is going on out there?
Well, let's see. We had a lot of visitors over the weekend, last weekend, and so far this weekend. It's been really, really packed, so it's been really good. We've had a lot of visiting veterinarians come by. The pony club's been by.
Oh, my goodness. I'll bet a bunch of pony clubs. Yeah. They had 4,000 people up there.
Leslie brought over the new class of Kemi volunteers, good. So that was really good. I mean, it's been really busy and really, really good. So.
They were out here
Thursday.
Thursday. Mike talked to them. Matt talked to them.
Well, then they went to Mike's that day also on Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I warned them.
Yeah, look out for the bald guy. Don't go around with him. Get somebody who can give a good tour. Don't get the old guy. Yeah. So that's been really good.
Yeah. All those pretty girls, my goodness.
Yeah, and then people from Woodford Reserve came out. We had a special lunch for the people that work at Woodford Reserve this week, and that
nice.
Was a lot of fun. So it's been real busy. It's been good.
What's
that
your
part's
next
been
event?
Good. Well, the next event's actually in Saratoga.
Okay.
On August 8th. We're having a get-together at Ann's Washington Inn on Broadway. For those of you who are up there, it's free. It's a tribute to Sonny Taylor. Sonny Taylor's been the placing judge for the New York Racing Association for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
You probably remember him when he started.
Gotcha.
But anyway, he's been the placing judge up
used
there.
Used to babysitting.
We hope he gets another 50 years, just like you. Anyways, so we're doing a tribute to Sonny, and we're going to have a party, and it's going to be Sonny Taylor Day in Saratoga, and that's going to go on around 6 o'clock, and that's the same day as the Hall of Fame inductions, so that'll be good. And then the next day, Rick Capone, who's the sports editor of the Woodford Sun, has written a book on the history of old friends, and that's coming out, and they're going to let us do a signing on that Saturday, August 9th, at the Racing Museum.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to get Rosie to come over and Edgar Prado to come over and sign some stuff so that people actually come.
Well, they'll be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's from, I think, 10:30 to 11:30.
Good.
So, and for those who are already up at Saratoga, tonight they're doing a big event for the old friends at Cabin Creek. The Saratoga Division of Old Friends are doing it at the Polo Club.
Oh, nice.
And that costs $100 a ticket. That's kind of like... That's up there.
Wow.
But it's a lot of fun. And they
make you pay when you go to your own thing?
No. I sneak in the back.
Okay.
Make pay?
I'm on a waiter's
seat. I have no money. All my money's gone. That's the IRS. They're still coming after me.
That's okay. Somebody's going after the IRS, too. So
yeah,
maybe good. Think about it.
I hope they catch them. But today's the Sanford Stakes at Saratoga.
Yeah, I want to talk about Man of War's defeat now, I guess.
No, I don't. I want to talk about another horse's defeat, if you don't mind. Summer Attraction, my horse.
Oh. Where did he finish?
Last.
Oh.
Of course he finished last, but you're trying to get to the end of the story first, and I'm going to tell the story no matter how you try to ruin it.
Dang.
Anyway, there's a wonderful little horse named Summer Attraction that I used to take care of for Carlos. A friend of mine named Tom Wilmot bought him, and he was a two-year-old. And in his second start, he broke his maiden and maiden special weight at Suffolk and defeated a horse that was owned by the owner of the track, Jim Mosley. Jim Mosley, I think, had paid $280,000 for his horse, and Tom had paid $5,000 for this little horse.
Ah.
So off of that victory, they decide, well, let's go to Saratoga and run him in the Sanford.
Oh.
Yeah, that's good. Run a maiden Suffolk.
They both tracks begin with the letter S.
Yeah, that's about it, too. And he was half the size of all the other horses.
Oh, yeah.
But the two, so a couple of things I remember, is we were in the paddock, and Tom Wilmot was really nice. He paid for everybody and all of that. So
if you were there, I'm not surprised.
Well, at least I worked with the horse. At least I took care of the little guy. Anyway, before the race, we're all in the paddock, and Carlos has got his Panama hat on, and he's got this bright, loud, you know, flowery shirt on, and his white pants. And Wayne Lucas and Nick Zito are looking at him like, "Are you kidding me? Who's this guy? And what's the deal with this horse?"
Right.
So the two questions I remember him getting asked in his responses. Mr. Figueroa, should I bet your horse? Now, Summer Traction was probably went off, I think, at 70 to 1. And Carlos leaned back and he goes, how bad do you want to go to Honolulu? Then another guy says to him, Mr. Figueroa, how are you going to feel if your horse, Summer Attraction, wins the Sanford Stakes? Carlos leaned back and put his hands on his hips and bellowed, if I win the Sanford Stakes, they're going to have to rename it the Sanford and Son. That was Carlos.
Funny.
And eventually, as luck would have it, you know, the poor horse had a pretty much had a nervous breakdown after the race. And a year and a half later, he was still eligible for non-winners of two lifetime at the bottom.
Jeez.
Tom shipped him up. By this time, I had a falling out with both Carlos and Tom, basically with the way they were treating this poor horse and a couple of the other ones. They were just running him into the ground. They had another two-year-old. They had 18 starts, a filly. I mean, it was impossible. But anyway, he puts him in on Mother's Day up at Finger Lakes in a New York bred non-winners of two life for $3,500. I called my trainer and I said, come on, we're getting in the trailer. We're going to go get this horse. So first I had to call my mother and tell her that.
Good old mom.
Good old mom. There's going to be some plans.
Mom, I'm tapping your pension again.
No. I'd already done that, so there was nothing there. But I had to go to one of those check cashing places to get cash because this is a Saturday and they're running on Sunday, and they needed cash. So I throwing all these credit cards underneath the window, boom, boom, boom. In the middle of these transactions, Diane, my wife, gets a call, and they say, madam, are you aware there's something very unusual going around with your credit cards? And she goes, no, that's just my husband. So anyway, I got the cash. Now I got to convince my mother about Mother's Day.
Uh-huh.
I call her up. She lived in Connecticut. And I said, Mom, have you been watching the news? And she goes, yeah. I said, well, have you read about Mother's Day? Have you heard about this? She goes, what? I said, you know how every time you go out on Mother's Day, it's too crowded. You can't get service. You can't get a parking place. The food's terrible. You can't talk because it's just so crowded. It's too loud in the restaurant and all that. She goes, yeah. I said, well, what the government's decided to do is they decide to separate it. So if your last name begins with A, you stay on Sunday. B, you move to Monday. And without missing a beat, she says to me, does this have something to do with a horse? So we went and got him and gave him some time off.
Yeah.
He won like four races for us, I retired him, and now he's at Old Friends.
Ah, that's wonderful.
So he's still paying for him.
Yeah, he's really cool. And when I call him by name, he comes right out of the herd, comes over, says hello to his old dad.
How old is he now?
Well, let's see, must be 18.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. That's a good story.
Let me interrupt you.
Did you hear that? She said it was a good story.
Did you ever pay your mother back?
Don't you have ads to do?
Yeah. Yes. Flotilla, co-champion two-year-old filly of the year in France, winner last year of the classic Group 1 French 1000 Guineas, has finished second in two more group stakes this year. That pushed her earnings to over $1 million. She won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf in 2012. In fact, she was one of two Breeders' Cup winners that year by Mizzen Mass. The other was Ms. Direction, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, a race that she came back again in 2013 and won it again, beating Colts both times. Ms. Direction retired with earnings over $1,719,000. Mizzen Mass is the sire of 9 2014 stakes horses, including his 6th Grade 1 or Group 1 stakes winner, that's Literus. 5 of the 9 have won a place in graded stakes. So that's the kind of runner you may get when you breed to Mizzen Mass. I'll purchase a yearling by Mizzen Mass. A Grade 1 stakes winner by champion sire Cosine, Mizzen Mass stands at Judmon Farm, as does First Defense, another proven Grade 1 sire. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Jackie, want to say something about our friends over at Sally Vans?
Oh, yeah, and I want to start out by saying that, because I forgot last time, they build their own trailers, and of course they service their own diesels, and they will do that for you. You can take your trailer or your gooseneck or whatever you've got over there, and really know that they know something about both ends of your rig. So, and they've been in business for more than 60 years, and many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack, they've hauled them to and from. And they learned a lot on the way. It's obvious their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top shape. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the guy behind the wheel. They're really proud of their drivers at Sally Van. They're experienced drivers, experienced horsemen, and that's a way to do it. So think about that the next time you ship your horse cross-country or cross-county. When you load into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. They wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why, for more than half a century, Sally Vans have been the safest way to the winner's circle. Their number is 255-9406.
Well, the Saratoga sale is right around the corner, and the Windstar Stallions are well represented. You'll find youngsters in the sale by Bellamy Road, Congrats, Distorted Humor, Drosselmeyer, More Than Ready, Pioneer of the Now, Sydney's Candy, Sprightstown, Super Saver, Tis Now had another stakes winner yesterday. Those with foals to have raced a full season, Bellamy Road, Congrats, Distorted Humor, More Than Ready, Pioneer of the Now, Sprightstown, and Tis Now have already demonstrated their ability to sire graded stakes winners. Now, the first foals by Drosselmeyer, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic and the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, and of over $3,728,000, are yearlings. Drosselmeyer is a son of champion sire Distorted Humor. The first foals by Sydney's Candy are also yearlings. Sydney's Candy is a Grade 1 winner and millionaire by the outstanding sire Candy Ride. Now, Super Saver won the Kentucky Derby, and he earned over $1,889,000. His first of two-year-olds sired an impressive first-time starter win at Belmont just the other day. For more on these stallions at Windstar Farm, contact Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, and Kyle Wilson. I said his first foals are two-year-olds, I should have said. I'm talking referring to Super Saver, and he did have a good winner at Belmont, maiden allowance just the other day. So for more on the Windstar stallions, get in touch with Darren Fox or Sean Tugel or Kyle Wilson at number 859-873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com. Keith is out here. Mike Heath, standing out here. Mike wrote a winner for me one time, and that was a difficult thing to do.
He should have gotten the Eclipse Award.
Yeah. Rider of the Year. He had to carry that son of a gun in the last 8 miles because he was counting the grandstand. The horse, not Mike.
Not Mike. Yeah. Looking for those $2 bettors.
Yeah. Are you picking us a winner over there?
Just looking through. Got to Diana today. Got a lot of nice horses run at Saratoga, and I'm looking forward to going there.
Well, I bet you are.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm
Where
not.
Where are you going?
Saratoga in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
how long
are
you going to be gone?
10 days.
10 days?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll be warmer there than here.
Oh, this is great weather.
Isn't it, though? Yeah,
I love
thrilled.
This. Are you kidding me?
Too.
That'll be great.
Did you get,
like
that, you get that rain? You know,
yeah.
Nice for
thank
people.
Goodness.
Yeah, we
it
needed
was
it, too.
Great. It was, you know, we put out, you know, Eldifer, who won the Breeders' Cup Marathon, and he came to us with his two pal goats. We put them out. I mean, they're right in that front paddock now, and the people on the tours are going absolutely out of their minds with him and the goats.
Because that's cute.
They're like his bodyguards, and they follow him around the way the Secret Service follows the president.
I mean, there you go.
Can't fool around with him without dealing with these goats, and they become huge hits on the tour.
What are the goats' names?
Yahoo and Google.
How funny.
Google's been to 5 Breeders' Cups.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Quite a world traveler.
I'm jealous.
I bet.
You know, but he's pretty funny. And we opened up the new pastures on the farm next door now, so we've got the horses off of Charles Knuckles' farm now, and then we're going to be working with we've still got a few over at Alfred Knuckles' farm, and Alfred's been taking such fabulous care of these horses. But eventually we'll get them back too, including Jerry. Remember Jerry, the GERI,
mm-hmm. Son of Theatrical.
Yes, yeah. Beautiful chestnut horse. He'll be coming over. So
yeah. Where is he now?
He's over at Alfred's.
Oh, is he?
He was in Italy. We brought. He was living in a monastery in Italy, and we brought him home.
Oh, how funny.
He was living in a 13th century monastery.
Does he pray every so many hours and all that?
I don't know.
He's very tonsured?
Well, let me put it this way. He's very contemplative. He doesn't talk a lot. So.
That's it.
He took the vow of silence over there.
I guess they only feed when it's talking time.
You ought to try it sometime.
I did. It didn't work out that well. No. Neither the monastery nor the silence. All right, Ursula. Well, I'll let you go. I'm going to go home and get ready here.
Yeah.
And I'll see you at 11 o'clock. If people are interested in, if any of Dr. Byers' friends don't know it, they moved his service from the Presbyterian Church in Georgetown because of popular demand. They moved it to the Car Dome.
Yeah, Center, they said the church wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
So I think it's the second exit heading north. You turn in. And it's a modern building.
Oh, there's all kinds of signs.
Yeah.
You really can't miss it.
Yeah,
but if you go in the first entrance, I think that you can't quite get to the parking lot.
I don't know. Maybe there's a parking lot up there.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, there is. There is. It's a nice facility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You turn in the first entrance or the second?
I turn in the second, but there'll be signs up for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's the modern building is where they have all the crowd things.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Michael.
All right, Ursula. I'll see you in a little while. Jackie, see you in a little while.
Okay,
thanks for
Michael.
Everything.
See you over there, Michael.
Thanks for stopping by.
Of course.
Yeah, we'll see you.
All right, you want to finish up your commercials? Let's see. I mean, not
my
commercials.
Announcements. Okay, let's see. Oh, I already talked about. Oh, the Rude and Riddle Grand Prix. Ooh, it's a show jumping event. At least I didn't say Grand Prix, which I've heard in Kentucky. Show sponsored by Rude and Riddle.
You did just then.
And prize money totals 50,000 buckos.
Oh.
So, yeah, sure for that.
Well, you know, those things happen. Well, I used to do the race results all the time in the betting sheet, you know. I got into that real quick one time, and it didn't come out sheet.
No. Well, see, the best thing, though, I want to do, is I want to find that horse name, that hopefully I have a horse that can run well and win. The announcers have to say the name over and over, and it's got to be a hard name. But announcers can mess them up. We had a horse, Fove, that ran out in California, one of our quarter horses. But she was by Kube.
Mm-hmm.
Every race, and she would win. I mean, she was a good horse. They'd say Fove. Fove. We even called and said, hey, it's Fove. Okay. Next race. Fove. Fove. And we gave up.
Well, there was a horse pianist running out in California, and the guy kept saying, pianist.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, that was New York.
Oh, was that New York? Yeah, where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, that was New York. That was the big time caller up in New York. It's retiring. I can't remember.
And then there was always Pheasant Plucker. That's the all-time best of all. You say that one real fast.
Yeah. There's some others, too.
It's
but
been I'm about there. 20 years ago.
You might slip up on the radio trying to say them fast.
I've been there and done that.
See, if you want to mess up the caller, race caller, name the horse Ran Second.
There you go.
Say, and then he'll have to say, in front, ran second. I mean, that'll blow their mind. I thought about that one, too.
You got a devious mind.
I know.
There's a lawyer coming out in you.
I know. Okay, I got a thing from Lisa Malloy, who was also such a good friend. Michael, I gotta say that Dr. Byers helped every horse rescue around here.
He sure did.
I mean, he said her when she was here with New Vocations. Now she's with Ben Rerun. She was here with New Vocations, and it was pretty much she and her son, because her husband's in the CIA and he's always around the world everywhere at that time. And Dr. Byers helped her with veterinarian stuff, free, you know, stuff with the horses, exams and all this. And he set her up with people so she could meet veterinarians and meet people that would help her with her placing these horses. And she would take her son with her. And her son's name's Jack. And he absolutely loved Dr. Byers. Yeah. All kids did. And he would take Jack out where they lived, going to take him fishing and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it was wonderful. She just, she loved Dr. Byers. And when she moved to Virginia, her husband, I think, is Quantico a place? Anyways, maybe the Pentagon. I don't know where he is. But she had moved to Virginia. And he called over there to vets that he knew and got her all set up again. Mm-hmm. So he did wonderful things. So there, she's doing real well. She's gotten Cappers for Causes. I think that's might be fox hunting. Anyway, she's gotten $4,000 from After the Finish Line, which is a charity. Things like that. People are sending her horses with money the way they do Michael. So by the time somebody sends her a horse with a couple thousand, Zito sends her money all the time. And what happens is if you send her a horse with $2,500, she can pretty much always get it placed before the money runs out. Yeah. So that was, she really, really, really liked that.
Got to interrupt you again.
Okay.
Now, all right. Well, the average starter by the hair earned $65,924. And nearly 75% of his foals have started. Not only that, 13% of his starters have won stakes and 17% have won a place in stakes. Keep that in mind when you see a DeHare yearling at one of the sales. DeHare is a grade one stakes winner by the elite sire and sire of sires, Awesome Again, the nation's leading active sire of winners of Breeders' Cup races and the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic to have sired a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. DeHare stands at Shadwell Farm with the stallions Albertus Maximus, Jazzle, Interdab, and Invisor. Like DeHare, Jazzle, Interdab, and Invisor have demonstrated their ability to sire graded stakes winners. The first foals by Albertus Maximus are yearlings. He won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, the Grade 1 Don Handicap, and over $1,328,000. So watch for his first crop yearlings at the upcoming sales. And for more information, get in touch with stallion manager Kent Barnes, 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Ralph Quillen, he's the big PR man down in Paris, Kentucky now. I mean, every time we get our weekly paper, it's the Constitution or something like that. What do they call that paper? It comes out once a week, so I don't know what it is. But anyway.
The Weekly Surprise, I forget.
Anyway,
I don't know.
You've been there forever. You know, the paper, it precedes Daniel Boone, I think.
Wait a minute. Wake up the EMS girl. Hey, Holly.
Wake up over there.
Holly. She's asleep.
Hey, Holly, there's a guy laying out here with a broken leg.
Holly. We'll ask her.
Leave
when
her alone.
She
Holly
wakes
must
up.
Have had a bad night.
I tell you.
Holly's our EMS. She's our medic. Holly, I'm having a heart attack. Come turn. She probably would have said to hell with it anyway.
The Bourbon County citizen.
The citizen.
Oh, yeah,
there you go.
1802 or something.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, Ralph's on recover because he's doing something downtown. Rooster Brewery he has down there, it's getting all people, all kinds of people downtown.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you go down there and you see crowds of people in downtown Paris. You haven't seen that. Usually you go, used to be you couldn't get up enough people down there to get up a crap game.
But, right.
You know, I mean, it's now there's all kinds of people down there. And
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. And he's got over, 102 different kinds of beer.
On the wall.
On the wall. So if you start singing that song, you have to start at 102.
Yeah.
And go count backwards, you know.
But well, when we went, he has different, like, barbecue places and stuff. He had Red State Barbecue, and he's got this room in the back. I mean, all
where,
the bar.
Yeah, where he set up all his
set up food.
Where he brews his beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think they brew in the basement, but
no,
I'm not
no, sure. It's right back there.
Right there.
Oh, right back there is where it comes from?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You haven't worn it back there yet. You just went back to get barbecue.
I went back to get barbecue. I don't take my eye off the prize.
But anyway, it's fun. It's fun to go over there. But, of course, we're supposed to be talking about his tack shop.
Which is great.
Which is, you know, the world's number one tack
he
shop.
He said something about that other business.
That other business?
Yeah. It's great. It is the world's greatest tack
shop. Well, it's the nation's largest custom halter shop. You know, they ship out. That doesn't count what they sell over the counter, but 17,000 halters a year, you know.
You know, and let me tell you something else he said. Betsy just got a tablet, a 10-inch tablet, and what they come with is kind of a crummy cover. And I want something leather that if she dropped it or something, it really would take care of it. And I said, can you make that for me? He said, oh, yeah, we can make anything, but try online first, because he said you might get it cheaper than what we could make it. Isn't that nice?
Ralph said that?
Yes.
I'm going to take his temperature next time I look at it. Anyway.
But they do custom make all kind of things. They make catalog covers. You see them all the time. And they repair tack.
Yeah.
Bless them.
Leathers and
Wayne is really good. Wayne is a real artist at that stuff. He's good.
It's a great tack shop. Yeah. Great gift shop.
It is.
Yeah, I get a lot of stuff in there at Christmas time.
I know. It's one of those places you walk in and you're supposed to get halters repaired, and you walk out with about six more things because, you know.
I can tell by when the bill comes in the first of the month anyway. Well, let me tell you where it is. Quillen Tack and Leather is in Paris, Kentucky, incidentally. And it's going to Paris from this end of town, the Lexington end of town, and go to the third stoplight and look to your left. And there you are. Great place to, fun place to go. Nice people to do business with in there, really are. Well, the Saratoga sale, which opens August 4, that's a select sale. And yearlings are selected by pedigree and by confirmation. There are 10 yearlings from the first crop by Uncle Mo in the sale. Now, that's a testimony to the quality of the individuals he's sired. The only stallion with more yearlings in the sale is last year's champion sire, Kitten's Joy. He's got 11. Uncle Mo began his career at Saratoga, winning his debut by 14 lengths, going 6 furlongs and 9-1. He then won the Grade 1 Champagne, going a mile 134-2, won by 5 lengths, won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and he earned the Eclipse Award as a 2-year-old. At 3, Uncle Mo, in spite of a debilitating illness, ran a mile in 133-4 to win the Grade 2 Kelso by 3 lengths and the Timely Rider Stakes by nearly 4 lengths, posted the fastest buyer speed ratings of his generation at both 2 and 3. Now, the late world-renowned veterinarian Dr. Doug Byers once described Uncle Mo as a super horse. Dr. Byers didn't make many mistakes. Uncle Mo stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. For more on the stallions at Ashford Stud, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com. All right, sweetheart.
Oh, my golly whiz. Do I owe you? What? Woo, sweetheart on the air. let's see, Long Run Hounds. We are fortunate here in Central Kentucky. You go one direction, you go to Iroquois, you go to another direction, you go to Woodford Hounds, you go up north, and you've got the Cincinnati Camargo, and you go to Louisville, and it's not all the way in Louisville. It's on this side. It doesn't take very long to get to Long Run Hounds. So if you want a fox hunt, there's 4 options for you, and they're all really nice people. This is at Dinwiddie and Irene Lampton's Brownsboro Farm. It's a hunter pace. It's kind of a day in the hunt field without hounds. There's a course of about 5 miles through hunt country, woods, creeks, and open fields for jumping and non-jumping. Isn't that fun? Teams can have 2 to 4 riders ride over a course simulating hunting conditions, trotting, galloping, walking, and checks. The team closest to the optimal time without going over, set by the officials, will be the winner. It starts at 8, and it will go through 12. They'll start. They go out at 3 minutes. It's really fun. Now, I'm going to tell you how to get there. Dress is casual. You need your helmets, of course, and stuff, but you don't have to braid, and you don't have to wear jackets. So, you take I-64 and head toward Louisville, and let's see, they've got directions from I-71 but not 64. I'll give them a call. Just call Brownsboro Farm if you want to go. It's really nice. They're nice people. A lot of fun. Dinwiddie does a lot of driving carriages and stuff, so you see him at those events. Today is July 19th. It's Sheffield Ridge Farms Hunter Day and Equitation Day. Nori, of course, is out Bourbon County kids who ride know where that is. Tomorrow, Sunday, is Jumper Day, and if you want to go, it's only $17 a class, and you can just show up. You don't have to come in advance. Whoa. And what happened? Something happened. Holly,
loose horse.
Is somebody down? The guy fell off. Is he laying there? Something hit him. There's the loose horse right there turning left. Well, that's...
Holly woke up.
Holly woke up. Yeah, boy. The siren's going off.
Yeah.
Okay, Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club's next meeting is the 29th of this month. What is 29th? Russi, do you know what that is? A Tuesday or Thursday? What's the 29th?
I don't know. I can't see the calendar. There's one behind
you. Farm Managers is the 29th. It's at the Red Mile. It's a lot of fun. I don't know who they're having. It's a Tuesday. Okay, we going?
Yeah, we're going. But they're having a board of different bloodstocks with different bloodstock people.
Okay.
On it.
Oh, liar's board.
But I want to make – I said something wrong last week on the air. Remember they did the family picnic over at Gainesway.
Right.
And I said one of the Cook brothers put it or had organized it is actually Randy Gilbert, who's now the acting president for the club.
Oh, okay.
So
good.
I'm making a correction. So if anyone called me out on it,
okay.
Just let him on the air and he screws up right away.
Right, yeah, of course. Okay. This is in September, but it's important. Save the date. Horses and Hope Trail Ride. It's First Lady Jane Beshear's fourth annual Horses and Hope Trail Ride. They raise money for cancer research. It's at the Horse Park, horsesandhope.org.
All right. Well, let me see here. Grade 1 winner Shaking It Up has joined the ranks of stallions over at Spendthrift Farm. They're Shaking It Up won the Grade 1 Malibu, the Grade 2 Strube, and the Grade 2 San Vicente, earned $664,982, and his pedigree abounds with championship performances. He's from the first crop by the popular Midnight Lute, winner of the Clips Award as champion sprinter and of over $2,690,000. Shaking It Up's dam is Silver Bullet Moon, a daughter of champion two-year-old Vindication. He's a son of the great Seattle Slough that was well on his way to success at stud at the time of his early demise. The second dam is the great Silver Bullet Dam. Champion at 2, champion at 3, winner of 5 Grade 1 stakes, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies and the Kentucky Oaks, and of more than $3 million. It's also interesting to note that Silver Bullet Day is also the grand dam of Governor Charlie, another son of Midnight Lute. Dad won graded stakes, and he was second to Shaking Up in the Grade 2 Struve. Shaking It Up is to stand the 2015 season for $10,000 doing a full stand to nurses. And there are a few share of the upside contracts available at $12,500. Just call the farm for details. And while doing so, ask them about breeding on Southern Hemisphere time. All the stud fees are reduced if you want to breed on Southern Hemisphere time. The number is 859-294-0030. Ask for Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I want to talk about a couple of products that I have some enthusiasm about. That's Lubricin and Reborn. And Lubricin both of them developed by Dr. Steve Alday, incidentally. I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. Interesting guy to talk to. Hope he comes back. Anyway, they're all natural, both of them. Test-free. Lubricin, put it simply, sustains the integrity of the joint fluid and can help reduce the need for costly injections and so forth, you know. And trainers that use them include Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrell and Jerry Hollandoffer and Mike Maker, just to mention a couple of them. Also, Charlie Lepreski, you know, Wise Dan used both of them. Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum, and what it does, it builds up the immune system, the horse's immune system, starting with foals, weanlings. If you're going into the yearling sales, it'd be a good idea to give them to them, you know, to get them there healthy. And both those products are nationally used, you know. For instance, I know just over this weekend, Jerry Hollandoffer, who uses both products, saddled the winner of the Great Lady M Stakes. It's Grade 3 out at Los Alamitos. That's a $200,000 stakes. That was doing a hard time again. And also, Todd Pletcher uses these products. And Divine Oath won the American Derby. It's a Grade 3 race up at Arlington.
for Todd over the weekend. Of course, Todd leading trainer at Belmont Park, and he uses both products. So, well, here's how you get in touch with them. Go to lubricin.com, lubricyn.com, or reborn, reborne.com, and look them up. And you can buy those products over at Old Friends at the KBC in Lexington, Horse Sense down in Versailles. And incidentally, the Lubricin is also good for humans, and both Jack and I use it. Keeps us hopping out of bed every morning, usually on time.
You know, and it doesn't taste bad at all. It tastes good. We do the grape, which is just sort of flavorful. I mean, it's like slightly soft Jello.
Yeah.
That's what it tastes like, and it's grape, and it's good.
Well, July 12 at Arlington, the Grade 3 $200,000 American Derby was won by Divine Oath. Just talking about him a second ago. He's a 3-year-old colt by Broken Vow. Now, the American Derby was just the fifth career start for Divine Oath. He was a $200,000 graduate of the September sales out of Keenan. Bred by Sanford Robertson. Won his first two starts, both Augusta, and then ran a closing second in the Grade 3 Lexington Stakes at Keenan. After brushing the gate at the start in that one. The next start is likely the Grade 1 Secretariat, also at Arlington Park. Now, Divine Oath American Derby win follows by just 7 days the victory of Irish U Well, another 3-year-old colt by Broken Vow, in the $105,000 Long Branch Stakes at Monmouth Park, bred by Dale Hancock and Bernie Sams, and sold for $170,000 in the same sale as Divine Oath. Irish U Well also placed in the Grade 2 Peter Pan, the Grade 3 Illinois Derby this year. Broken Vow is sired 62 stakes winners. He's the leading son of sire's Unbridled Stud in North America, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud. Also at Pin Oak Stud are the stallions Alternation, Cowboy Cow. Now, Cowboy Cow is the sire of the $550,000 sales topper at the just-concluded Phase E Tipton July sale. Also there is a Clips Award winner, Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. That rider ever get up down there, Jackie?
No.
No, he's still down?
He's moving his legs, but Rusty said he thought when the rider went off the horse and he landed kind of standing up, right? The horse kicked him.
Oh, my.
Something like that.
Something like that happened. Yeah. Something
happened so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happens.
Well, hope he's
happens
all
in
right.
A hurry. Yeah.
They catch the horse?
Oh, yeah, they closed the track. Everybody's down on the lower track.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've come to the end. They took the Medicorp port
Holly
ambulance
took the truck
over there. And I'll tell you what about this place training out here. Holly's the medic, and we tease her. She's a registered nurse. She knows what she's doing. We don't have just, you know, nobody out here. She's good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sweet little girl, too.
Yeah, he's in good hands, and she knows when to call the...
Another good old Bourbon County girl.
Yeah, there you go. She's a good one.
Yes, she is. All right, do you want to finish up on that?
Okay, Lakeside Arena. Today would be July... Okay, this is funny. All right, the Bureau of Land Management has horses and burros down there to adopt. So if you want to get yourself a burro and protect your livestock, or you want a burro just to dress up your yard, take down that fake painted deer and put yourself a live burro out there, and they'll cut your grass.
Yeah, our next-door neighbor used to have
a
little burro in with her cattle.
Uh-huh, loud. My goodness, that thing would scare off the ghosts on Halloween.
Kept the coyotes away.
Kept the coyotes away. They're wonderful little animals, and... anyway, that's going on today, and then tomorrow is the last day next week, and they're having a Kentucky Hunter Jumper Show down there. And if you want to find out about that, 489-4885. Then they have a raining show on in August, and they have more hunter jumpers and that kind of stuff. To get to this, take 64 toward Louisville and get off the Versailles Frankfort exit. And if you turn left to get on that, and it's the first road on your right. I'm wanting to say it's Democrat Drive, but I can't remember. But there's signs.
Okay.
I guess they named it after our former governor, Happy Chandler. I got to tell you a funny story. When I was in college, I dated this guy who is now Bridge. He has a bridge named after him. He was a big, he's gone, but he's a bridge.
Bridge is still there, though.
The bridge is there, but anyway, he was very active politically, and he was working for Happy. So he said, "You want to do it? Come on, we'll go do this." I said, "Okay, fine." So we went to this big meeting. And, of course, being an idiot, I said, "What do you say to people if they ask you how come when Happy Chandler was governor, they built that four-lane highway over there when you couldn't drive from here to Cincinnati because the roads were so bad?" They said, "Well, it's tradition. Governors always build roads to their houses, to the Frankfurt." So,
yeah, anyway, from Versailles to Frankfurt.
From Versailles to Frankfurt, Happy's Highway. It was fun. So, okay, Horse Aid Live. This is a combined test and dressage show. It's a schooling show. You don't have to wear coats and you don't have to braid. So you can bring out a young horse, or it's good for somebody to just go out and have a good day. That's going to be Saturday, August the 2nd at Masterson. And it's Mid-South EDA, MSCDA. That's a dressage association. I can't remember what the E is for. Mid-South.
Equine?
No. Eventing. Oh. Dressage Association. And KDA, Kentucky Dressage Association. Sanction. It's a lot of fun, folks, and you can find it online, Horse Aid Live. They got a tandem oral. I wonder what tandem oral is. Anyway, it's a good sponsor. So, it starts early and goes all day. A lot of fun. Summer Bird Dressage Schooling every Sunday. Oh, take that back. Every Wednesday through the summer. At Masterson. What you do, you pull in, go up to the dressage rings, and take any test that you want for $10. Show up and be judged. Take your test home. No ribbons, just good practice and feedback, and it's kind of fun seeing everybody. Used to do it. From 4:30 until dark. And they're going to go all summer. You know, I think in the winter they call it Snowbird, and they go indoors out at the horse park. That's how that works. That's Julie Congleton, who does a wonderful job. Okay. And way off in September is the Kentucky National Horse Show, September 17th through the 21st. Two national level Grand Prix. Hagyard Equine Medical Institute, the Betsy. That's after Betsy Fishback, who's no longer with us, just a wonderful person. She was
Dave Fishback's bride.
Yeah, she did so much to bring events to the horse park. She was just a driving force, getting all these nationally rated shows and things here. Just super. The $45,000 Midwest Young Jumper Championships and stuff like that. And the Midwest ASPCA McClay Regional Equitations, they come up and become the finalists. All get to compete. I think it's around Christmas or so. That's the famous show that used to be at Madison Square Garden and was such a huge social event in New York. And it kind of, for 100 years or something. Yeah. And it fell by the wayside. I don't know what they do socially up there now. Phew, I guess duck from bullets. I don't know. But anyway, we've got it here, and that's because of Alltech.
So, got it?
Yes. Let me turn the page. Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, here's a statistic that should get your attention. Nearly 70% of the graded stakes winners by the Edina Springs Kentucky Stallions were offered a public auction. And there have been literally dozens of them. That said, look for yearlings by the Edina Springs Kentucky Stallions at the 2014 auctions, including four by Awesome Again and two by Gold Zapper at Saratoga. Now, let me remind you that Awesome Again has sired 14 Grade 1 winners, 9 millionaires, 5 multimillionaires. That is the leading active sire of winners of Breeders' Cup racing. That he is the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, the sire winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. And that he has sired more Grade 1 stakes winners on the dirt than any other sire in the world. Ghost Zapper is Awesome Again's most prestigious son. He was elected to Racing's Hall of Fame immediately upon becoming eligible. At stud, he is duplicating the success of his elite sire. He has sired some 40 stakes winners in his first four crops, including 5 Grade 1 winners. His most recent, Judy the Beauty, winner of the 2014 running of Keeneland's Madison Stakes. Now, Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again and Ghost Zapper stand at Edina Springs, Kentucky. For more information, call the farm at 859-987-1798 and see the website at adinastallions.com.
Your home for the sports huddle.
I can't believe I've heard some of the things that have been said here. You all ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Well, myositis Dan returned to racing following his head-bobbing loss in the Grade 3 Derby Trial Stakes at Churchill Downs. Turned in an impressive win, going 7 furlongs in an allowance race up at Arlington, I should say. That was on July 12th. Bred and owned by Brereton C. Jones and trained by Tom Proctor, myositis Dan, a 3-year-old colt by Istan, is likely to test stakes company again in his next start. Istan is also the sire of Albano, recent winner of the Grade 3 Pegasus Stakes at Monmouth. That's a major prep for the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational. Istan Ford, winner of the Grade 3 Arlington Classic this year and a candidate for the Grade 1 Secretariat. Graded stakes winner Mr. Bowling, who recently posted his third stakes win. This one was in Canada. Istan, a multiple graded stakes winner by Gone West, is siring runners. In other stakes, Proud Citizen, a 3-year-old daughter of Battlefield Angel, won Delaware's Christiana Stakes on July 8th. Now, bred by Roy Hansen, Battlefield Angel placed in the Grade 1 Alcibiades out at Keeneland this spring. A Proud Citizen, also by Gone West, has already sired 4 champions and 2 winners of the Kentucky Oaks. And the 3 yearlings by Majestic Perfection that were offered at the Facey Tipton July sale sold for $135,000, $100,000, and $100,000. His damn Proud Citizen and Majestic Perfection stand at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website, airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Sally Vantry. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty. Well, we're starting the second hour of the Horse Tales, and my good friend Steve Moody, who's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet and also the Saratoga Handicapper Sheet, is back in training after a layoff of a couple of weeks, taking it easy. And Steve, how are you this morning?
I'm doing all right, Ursel. Just all too brief vacation.
Well. You're up on me. I haven't had any vacation. Of course, some people would say my whole life's a vacation, but there you go. Well, they're running a couple of stakes up there, the Grade 1 Dinah and the it's a Grade 2 or Grade 3 Sanford?
Grade 2.
All right. That's a race that got more publicity for a horse that got beat than it did for whoever won it. But anyway, let's go with the deck. And you got time to give us both of them?
Sure, we can do that. The seventh race is the Sanford. That, of course, is 6 furlongs, race for 2-year-olds, $150,000 purse, field of 9. The thing that stands out to me about the Sanford, Ursel, is the fact that it looks like there's going to be plenty of speed in the race with the Lucas runner, Big Trouble, Mr. Z, with speed, Nana's Boy, the Pletcher runner, and of course the slight favorite Cinco Charlie. All of those horses have speed, and I think the race could set up for something with a little bit of a tactical ability, and that's the two-horse Silverhill. He was beaten by Cinco Charlie at Churchill Downs, but I think with the way this race sets up, that he's got a chance to come back and sort of turn the table. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a chance here. He's drawn the two posts. It's not too, you know, not bad. And I think he can just sit in there in behind this in this speed duel, and then come and get him when they get to the stretch. So I'm going to take him over Cinco Charlie and Nana's Boy. Nana's Boy is one that, of course, was 1-9 first time out for Pletcher. And the horse that he beat in there came back and crushed a field of maidens the next time out. So this horse, he might be any kind, but his speed, just you kind of wonder if he's going to get caught up in the pacing here today. So we're going to give the upset to Silverhill, 2-9-8 in the Sanford Stakes.
Okay. Wonder what kind of odds you get on Silverhill.
We'll go to the big race of the day. That's the Grade One Diana, the 10th race, a mile and an eighth on the grass for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, $500,000 purse. The track conditions, by the way, it's sunny Saratoga, fast and firm. No scratches as yet, but should be a nice day up there. And very tough race, field of 10 drawn for the Diana, and there's not a whole lot of them that you could pitch in here. Easily half a dozen, I think, would not be a surprise. I kind of went round and round with this race, Ursel, and I settled on a horse that I didn't think I would take when I first started looking at it, and that's the 8. I've heard it pronounced a couple of ways, Alterite, Alterite. I'm not sure which is the correct one, but the horse that has come over from France for Chad Brown. This horse has come over and got a win, a second and a third from her three starts in the United States. Her last race here was last fall in the Breeders' Cup, Filly and Mare Turf, where she lost a narrow decision to really nice Mare Dank in that race. She's been off, of course, since, but is working well for her return. Chad Brown, usually pretty good with the layoff horses, although I did see hear a stat yesterday that when he has layoff horses in graded stakes, he's like 0 for 12 or 0 for 11. So that's a little bit of a concern, but I'm going to give her a slight edge. I think she's been facing maybe the best company and has acquitted herself pretty well. I give the other Chad Brown horse a big chance in here, too. That's the 9, Stephanie's Kitten. She has kind of been knocking at the door. I really think she'll benefit from the added ground today. She's been going a little bit shorter. I think the mile and an eighth is going to suit her very well. And Chad Brown has got Franco Dettori. He's come over to ride at Saratoga this meet. As a matter of fact, he got a couple winners yesterday on opening day, and he didn't get there till about halfway through the card. They lost his tack on the airplane. he won a couple yesterday, and obviously one of the great riders going today. He's got the mount on Stephanie's Kitten, and she'll be running at the end. And I think she has a big shot in here. The Bill Mott trainee, the 4 Emollient, filly by Empire Maker. She's a versatile sort. She can show speed. She can rate. She's not really limited to a particular kind of race. She can adapt And I think she's going to be very tough in here. Again, Urs, like I said, a tough, tough race to separate. Like I said, I wasn't crazy about taking a 3-1 price on a horse that had been off almost 9 months, but somehow managed to do it anyway. So we're going to go 8-9-4 in the Grade 1 Diana.
All right, Steve. Well, that sounds good. Good racing. Good racing up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the it's the best racing, I think, in the country right now. Of course, a lot of people say Del Mar, but I think Saratoga gets day in and day out. They get fuller fields than Del Mar, and you know, it's hard to beat the racing at Saratoga. The conditions might be better at Del Mar or down there on the beach and with the tremendous weather, but they're both great places. But certainly the racing is going to be great here for the next 6 weeks at Spa.
Well, yeah, you know, I look through those racings every day, you know, and I'm looking for horses I tell you what, the pedigrees of the things running at Del Mar, they don't match the pedigrees of the horses that are running at Saratoga. They just don't do it. There's some things in there by horses you never heard of. I mean, it's great. It's some really good racing, but I don't think it equals Saratoga. Don't think it equals Keeneland as far as that goes. But like you say, I've been to Del Mar, and it's a fun place to go. And, you know, it's... I don't think the quality of racing is as good there as it is at Saratoga or at Keeneland. Oh, well, that's just an opinion, you know. It's like noses. Everybody's got an opinion. Cleaned that one up, didn't I? Anyway, was Steve, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you next week, my friend. Steve is, of course, the author of the Saratoga Handicapper Sheet. You can buy that wherever you find a daily racing form, or you can get it out of Keeneland. And it's a great a guide of how to bet. Okay, Steve, thank you.
All right, Ursula.
Talk to you later, my friend. All right, well, let's see here. There are four yearlings from the first crop of Trap Shot catalog for the upcoming Saratoga sale. Now, Trap Shot's a multiple graded stakes winner. He's by Tappet. Tappet, of course, the number ranked sire in North America, and he's by Pulpit. And he is out of a private account mare shopping the dam of three other stakes winners, including the Grade 1 winner and millionaire Miss Shop. That Trap Shot won the Grade 2 True North in New York, getting 6 furlongs and 8-4, won by 8.5 lengths. Won the Waldorf Stakes in 109 flat. Won the Long Branch around 2 turns. Won an allowance test at Belmont, 7 furlongs and 122. An allowance race at Gulfstream by 12. Broke his maiden by over 10 at Gulfstream. Got 6 furlongs and 9-2 that day. He's a superb individual, and he is siring superb individuals. There are also yearlings in the sale by the Claiborne Stallions Arch, a proven Grade 1 sire. Blame, winner of the Eclipse Award, and a son of Arch, and proven Grade 1 sire Flatter by APND. For more on the stallions at Claiborne Farm, call Bernie Sams at 859-223-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, my good friend Hill Parker and his lovely bride Reagan have been in the real estate business for over 10 years now. Not that they're old people, but they've been doing what they do for 10 years or a little bit longer. Real horse people. And when it comes to real estate, they're helping real horse people. And because they know if you're looking for a farm, you tell them what you're looking for, they will be the people to find it for you. They know, got a great website and a great variety of listings. Also, if you're thinking about selling, I would guarantee you that they will do a great job for you. You get the two for the price of one there in Hill and Reagan, and they've been, well, I've got written, I said 10 years, it's over 12 years that they've been in the real estate business. And of course, hands-on horsemen, they know what you want need if you're looking for something. And he was a licensed trainer, A-level pony clubber and so forth. And they presently have listings in just about every county that you can think of, including the ones in central Kentucky like Fayette and Bourbon. Got some nice places down in Bourbon County that I know of. Sold a couple already. Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark County, outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices, and they can help you find the perfect farm that you are looking for. They've got them at all prices and all sizes and all locations. And here's their website. It's LexHorseFarms.com. And here's their phone number. It's 859-608-8039. Why don't you ask them to come down and look at that place over on Hawkins Cummins down close to me at Bourbon County. Priced just right for 75-acre horse farm. There's also farms over at on Keene Road, and that's pretty well priced over there. They've got another place on Muir Station, one over in Winchester, one on Yarlton. Excuse me, losing my voice. One over on Russell Cave, as far as that goes. So great variety of play. Let me once again. Here's their number. It's Lexington number 608-8039, and that's Hill and Reagan Parker. And you couldn't do business with nicer people. Well, entries closed for Keeneland's November breeding stock sale. That's on the 1st of August. It's right around the corner. And I would suggest that you get in touch with Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Pope's been a regular consignor to the sales for what a low these many years. So now is the time to give them a call. If you're thinking about selling in that sale, let me give you the phone number. It's 859-252-3770. Now, Crestwood Farm is a family operation. It's run by the family. And as such, the management's on the premises 24-7. Well, that's because they live there. And they offer much more besides sales prep and sales and boarding. They can do a lot of things for you and represent you at sales, pedigree research, confirmation analysis, appraisals, business planning, and a whole lot more. There are stallions over there offer a wide variety of pedigrees, and all of them stand for reasonable stud fees. You need to go over and look them over. It's nice horses over there. Many of those people who board with Crestwood have been with them for years because they're treated like they're treated like family. So give the folks at Crestwood Farm a call. Let me give you that number again. It's 859-252-3770. And you're always welcome to stop by the farm to talk over your plans for the future. And be sure to check the website at crestwoodfarm.com. What happened to that guy, Matt?
It was a young lady, actually. However, she came off. She ended up with a broken jaw and a concussion. I mean, we could tell it was a broken jaw.
Oh, my.
But
they had a rider come off out here just a while ago, about half an hour ago, in Holly. Our medic went down to treat her and called for an ambulance, and they've hauled her away now.
Yeah.
And
well, she didn't want to go, but she needed to.
Well, must have knocked her silly if she didn't want to go.
I think she had moved there for a second, so you know she was out cold there for a second.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's too bad, but it happens. That's part of the game.
Part of the life we live.
Part of the game. Excuse me. All right. This from David Schweitzer over to Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. David, well, right up on retirement now, you know. He's going to stick around for a while and help the new man that's coming in. And David's been there for, golly, 25, 27 years, something like that. But he wants us to announce, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association wants us to announce the names of the breeders of stakes winners that were the Kentucky breeders of stakes winners from over the weekend. And the Grade 1 Delaware Handicap was won by Bell Gallanty. And Bell Gallanty was bred by Martin Wygod. The American Derby, Grade 3 up at Arlington Park, Divine Oath won that. That's a broken vow. He's been on a roll here lately. Bred by Sanford Robinson. Broken vow, of course, over at Pin Oak Stud. The Modesty Handicap, Grade 3 at Arlington, I'm Already Sexy won that. Bred by Equus Farm. The Arlington Handicap, Grade 3, Finnegan's Wake, bred by Jerry Crawford. The Mystic Lake Mile up at Canterbury. It's a $100,000 pot. As Ridge won that. As Ridge was bred by Glencrest Farm. The Hardest Core won the Cape Let me look at this. Henlopen Stakes at Delaware. And the winner breeder of that one was Mueller Farms. The Colorado Derby out west in Colorado, boy, it was won by Rebranded. Rebranded shipped in from Santa Anita to win by 12 and a half lengths. He's by Tiz now, bred by Mount Brilliant Farm and Ranch, and kind of took advantage of the old boys over there at the, out in Colorado to win the Colorado Derby. I mean, he just as he drew off and extended his lead, led from wire to wire, win by 12, as I said, by 12 and a half lengths. And I think Tisway, I had another stakes winner yesterday. I'm pretty sure that's true. Anyway, the Cinderella Stakes at Los Alamitos. I went to LaGrange. LaGrange bred by my friend Nicholas Locks down at Bourbon County in partnership with Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings and Betsy Kelly. The $100,000 Circat Stakes at Saratoga yesterday. Oh, here's that winner. This was Saratoga. This is opening day. Here's that winner by Tisnow, and it's Tourist. Tisnow, of course, one of my favorite horses. Keeps that old Man of War line alive. And got a bunch of sons and stud. I think it's going to keep it going, too, which is great. Tourist was bred by Windstar Farm and bred and owned by Gary Barber in partnership with Windstar Farm. And led all the way. Looks like that's the way some of these Tisnows do it. And won by a length and three quarters. And so that was the winner of the Circat Stakes opening day yesterday at Saratoga. Well, Flotilla, co-champion, three-year-old of a year in France, winner last year of the Classic Group 1 French 1,000 Guineas, has finished second in two more group stakes this year. That brought her earnings to over $1 million. She won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf in 2012. In fact, she was one of two winners of Breeders' Cup races by Mizzenmast that year. The other one was Ms. Direction. She won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, beating Colts. Came back in 2013 and won it again. Now, Ms. Direction's retired now. She's retired with earnings of over $1,719,000. And Ms. Mass is the sire of nine 2014 stakes horses already this year. Sired his sixth Group 1 or Grade 1 stakes winner this year in Litteris. Now, five of the nine have won a placed in graded stakes. So that's the kind of runner you can get when you breed to Mizzenmast or purchase yearling by Mizzenmast. You'll see them at the upcoming sales, for most of them in September. A Grade 1 stakes winner by a champion sire, Cozine. Mizzenmast stands at Judmon Farm. So does First Defense, and he's another proven Grade 1 sire. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, yesterday, I've just talked about this at Saratoga, opening day. The $100,000 Circat Stakes went to Tours, a colt by Tisnow, bred by Windstar Farm, and raised on products from McCauley Brothers. The horses raised on products from McCauley's have won over 100 stakes races so far this year, 103 to be exact. And over half of them, 59, were graded stakes, and 13 of those were Grade 1 stakes. That's a record to be proud of, and McCauley's is also proud to count many of the world's finest horsemen among their clients. McCauley's was the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. That's a practice that continues today. They have an uncompromising insistence in using the very finest ingredients available, and they apply the most stringent quality control measures to all aspects of the production. The result of these efforts is there for all to see. 103 stakes wins already in 2014. McCauley's also provides a variety of services such as ration evaluation, growth rate evaluation, custom feed formulation, nutritional problem solving, and a whole lot more. Free with every bag of feed you purchase. So give Mike Warren or David Longmire a call at 859-873-3333 and see the website at McCauleyBrothers.com. Oh, no, that's not right. It's McCauleyBros.com. And you're always, of course, welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Jackie, let me see my Sunday form. Just now picked it up.
Okay. Can I tell you what's on the front? See, my daddy told me when I was a little girl that the only place you needed to look for news was you open up the front of the Daily Racing Form, and it's something called News Briefs. And he said, you read that, and that's all you need to know. And today is the flight that was shot down by the Russians. Okay, fine. You know about that. Number two, FedEx was indicted over illegal shipping, illegal prescriptions. And FedEx is 20 million boxes a day. We're supposed to know when somebody's got some illegal pills in there. Am I right? Not only that, if they're going to ship them by U.S. Postal Service. And I didn't see anything. Anyway, that's all the news you need.
And that's what Jackie gets out of the daily racing for.
Right. Well, that's what my daddy said.
Horses.
That's it. All the information in the daily racing form, Racing's Bible.
That's it.
And she reads two pages, inside front page.
That's what my daddy said. So.
All right. In the Sunday edition, I've just opened it now. And Joe Nevels is writing about quality critical to New York breeding program, increasing purses, lucrative incentives, and so forth. So he is writing, A, about the program up in New York. John Sparkman's got a column on Divine Oath, who just won the American Derby. And he's a grandson of Broodmare of the Year, Personal Ensign, is what he's writing about. Let's see what else. There's an article in here by Steve Anderson on attendance out at Del Mar. Del Mar sales offers ready race runners. And, of course, there are past performances in there from Arlington, Saratoga, Thistle Downs, Monmouth Park, Gulfstream, Ellis Park, Woodbine, Belterra, and Canterbury. That's the edition that we get here. And that's the Racing's Bible Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form. And that breeding edition, of course, is in there today. And they publish information all through the week, though. For instance, on Monday, they give you a weekend stakes recap and a sales calendar. On Tuesdays, they're going to buyer profiles and young sires and breeder of the week. On Wednesdays, they give you the brood mare of the week and Dan Ilman's pedigree handicap column. On Thursdays, it's a product spotlight. Fridays, John Sparkman has another column. So go to drf.com/breeding today and get the Daily Racing Form. It's a wonderful organization and a great paper. All righty. Well, I threatened earlier on to talk about some winners of the Kentucky Oaks. So let's go to 1949. American Racehorses, and this is Joe Palmer's writing about it. And he's writing about Wistful. And Wistful was the Calumet filly that won the 1949 Coaching Club American Oaks. Talking about Coaching Club American Oaks winners because they're running a race tomorrow. And it's, of course, one of the top filly classics in there. So this is Joe Palmer writing about Wistful. She was a foal, incidentally, of Chestnut Filly in 1946. And the Jockey Club's rule on naming horses is perfectly clear to the Jockey Club. A name must not have more than 14 letters, counting spaces as letters in case it is made up of more than one word. It must not duplicate the name of any famous horse, and it must not duplicate the name of any horse which has been on the tracks or in the stud within 15 years. It must not offend against propriety or good taste, and it must have no connotation of advertising. It must not be among the names claimed by owners for prospective horses. Finally, it must not offend the registrar. The condition regarding propriety and good taste is often violated because the Jockey Club is so proper, it sometimes does not recognize impropriety. It allowed a horse, for instance, to be named Black Sob and then was abashed to find that irresponsible people were reading this as Black S.O.B. It allowed a horse to be named Snafu and later contented itself with a watered-down explanation that this was military slang, composed of the initial letters of Situation Normal, all fouled up. It has steadfastly failed to realize that a pansy is anything but a flower, and thus allowed Alfred Vanderbilt, who owns a broodmare named Pansy, to run a few names through its sentinels. It went to sleep quite recently and allowed a horse by Haste out of Fanny to be named Quick Lick. It has made other mistakes which are not for these chase pages. The Jockey Club's vigilance on names carrying advertising value is not unexceptional either, I should say. No one can name a horse Burger's Bottled Beer anymore, as someone did in the last century, or Dry Monopole, which was the one the first Brooklyn Handicap in 1889, could not get that name now. But it let Highland Queen and White Label get through. It failed to notice that Bar Granite and Carrera Marble were named by a man who manufactures tombstones and was picking his names out of his trade catalogs. It was somewhat outfoxed by Milky Way Farm, which used the unfair strategy of naming a horse for a horse first, like Nation's Taste, and then making a candy bar with the same name after it was out of the Jockey Club's province. But despite these occasional lapses, the system has resulted in the practical elimination of duplicated names. A pitfall which eagerly awaits the students of early pedigrees. There was, to be sure, an earlier Man of War, an earlier Equipoise, an earlier Bendor, but these were comparatively worthless animals whose names will never be confused with the great horses who made them famous. And they will not be permitted again within the memory of living man. It is thus unusual to be able to say that Wistful won the first coaching club American Oaks in 1917 and the latest renewal in 1949, possibly because Homer nodded again. The first Wistful, a foal of 1914, was a daughter of Starshoot and belonged to James Butler. That would be the first of the three James Butlers who have been presidents of the Empire City Racing Association. She produced six foals in the stud, five winners, the latest of them being Thoughts, a winner in the early 30s. One of them, incidentally, was named Pensive, a foal of 1920, and, of course, no relation to Calumet's Kentucky Derby winner of the same name. But it is odd that Calumet should have duplicated the names of the two closely related horses so recently. Calumet's Wistful, regarded here as the best three-year-old of the three-year-old fillies of 1949, is by Sun Again out of Easy Last by Blenheim II. Sun Again went wrong in the Preakness, in which he deadheaded for second place with Requested behind Elsab, but he was patched up to win stakes at 4 and 5, including the Riggs Handicap, in which he defeated Shutout, and he was second, giving the winner £20 in the Suburban Handicap of 1944. As a racehorse, he was very high class, and when he was retired to the stud in 1945, great things were expected of him. Since from his first foal of crops, he got Wistful, Palestinian, Irish Sun, and Inlumitable, all stakes winners, he has certainly justified the expectation. Something has been expected from his dam also. She was one of the daughters of Slow and Easy, a fair race mare which produced an unusually large brood of 15 foals, including one which was foaled in France, the stakes winner Crossbow II. She also produced the stakes winner Go Some, and several other horses of more than usual ability, including Frederick, which won 42 races, and Easy Mon, a fair success as a stallion. Easy Last was a foal of 1940, and she won three of her first five starts and was very well liked for the Arlington Lassie of 1942. She evidently had her share of the hot, excitable blood of her sire, Blenheim II, but she reared up in the gate and fell over backward. She suffered no outward injury and was permitted to start, but she ran badly and could not be used afterward. Put in the stud, her first foal was the incredibly swift Coal Town, subject of an earlier chapter in this volume. Wistful was her second, so that she had leaders in two divisions in 1949. If there is a broodmare of the year, Easy Lass has to be it. Well, see, that year, in addition to winning let me get her a race record over here somewhere. Being a champion three-year-old filly, in addition to the coaching club American Oaks, she won the Kentucky Oaks and the Pimlico Oaks and ran second in the Ashland Stakes and third in the Cleopatra. She came back at 4 and won the Klang Handicap, placed her some more stakes, including the Beldame and the Ladies and the Vanity. At 5, she won the Beverly Handicap, the Whirlaway Stakes, the Ben Ally Handicap, and the Clark Handicap. And at 6, she ran second in the Vanity and was twice third, once in the Sunset Handicap and the San Mateo Handicap. And she won 13 wins with 6 times seconds, 10 thirds, and earned $213,080. Now, at stud, she was bred to Bull Lee, and her first foal was a foal in 1954 named General Duke, who won the Florida Derby, equaling the world record. I happened to see that race, incidentally, in 56. He also won the Everglades Stakes and the Fountain of Youth, ran second in the Flamingo. Here's that world record at Gulfstream Park, a mile and eighth, 1:46.8. And he was considered probably, and he may have been, the best of a great crop. That was Bull Gruller and Gallant Man and Iron Liege and that bunch, Round Table. But he never made it to the Derby. He got sick. They tried to bring him back as a four-year-old, and he turned out to be a wobbler, and they had to destroy him. He was the son of Bull Lee. And that was the first foal, and the only foal, incidentally, of any account out of Wistful. She had a very poor produce record. She was barren, then she had a Bull Lee that was unraced, a colt. Barren, slipped, barren. Then she had a Bull Lee colt that was a winner and was sent to Jamaica and was barren. So she just produced three foals. And two winners, but one of them was a great racehorse. And the original was winner of the Coaching Club of American Oaks. So Wistful was by Starshoot out of Willful by Mirthful. And her produce record wasn't much either, as far as that goes. Well, I would say either. And I think it could produce something like General Duke was pretty damn good, I would say. But subsequently, she didn't produce anything. all right. Let me go on and pay some bills here, and then we'll get back and do something else. Well, the average starter by De Hare earns $65,924, and nearly 75% of his foals have started. Not only that, 13% of his starters have won stakes, and 17% have won a place in stakes. Now, keep in mind that when you see a De Hare yearling at one of the sales, that just keep that record in mind. De Hare is a grade one stakes winner by the Elite Sire, and Sire of Sires Awesome Again. He's the nation's leading active sire of Breeders' Cup races, and the only one of the Breeders' Cup Classic to have sired a Breeders' Cup Classic. Of course, that's his top sire, Gosapper. Now, De Hare stands at Shadwell Farm with the stallions Albertus Maximus, Jazzle, Interdab, Invisor. Like De Hare, Jazzle, Interdab, and Invisor have demonstrated their ability to sire graded stakes winners. Now, the first foals by Albertus Maximus are yearlings this year. He won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt, won the Grade 1 Don Handicap, also on the dirt, earned over $1,328,000. So watch for his first crop yearlings at the upcoming sales. And for more information about the stallions added at Shadwell Farm, contact stallion manager Ken Barnes. Here's Kent's number. It's an 859 number, 224-4585. Check the website, shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then BristNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BristNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BristNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Pioneer of the Nile is the number one ranked second crop sire in North America. He is the sire in his first crop of Carol Prince, winner of the Grade 2 Holy Bull, the Grade 2 Nazareth, second in the Grade 2 Remsen, of JoJo Warrior, winner of the Grade 2 Summertime Oaks and placed in the Instant Racing Stakes, that's at Oaklawn, and the Miss Preakness Stakes, of Vice Remus, winner of the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis Stakes and second in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby, of Conquest Top Gun, winner of the 2014 running of the $150,000 Victoria Park Stakes and also the $100,000 Marine Stakes, of course they're up at Woodbine, of Social Invasion. He set a new track record at Gulfstream and he's placed in the Grade 1 Preakness, the Grade 1 Wood, the Grade 2 Woody Stevens. He's also a River Dancer in that first crop, second in Saratoga Grade 2 with anticipation Stakes, and Cash Control, who placed in the Grade 3 8 Bell Stakes at Churchill Downs. That's four stakes winners, three graded stakes winners, seven stakes horses, six of the seven in graded stakes in his first crop. Pioneer of the Nile, a grade one winner, a 2 and 3, second in the Kentucky Derby, and a son of Empire Maker, stands at Windstar Farm. There are 2 Pioneer of the Nile yearlings in the Saratoga sale, so take a good look. And for more on the Windstar stands, get in touch with Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson. Number out there is 859-873-1717. And see the website at windstarfarm.com. All right. Now I'm going to talk about another winner of the Coaching Club American Oaks, which will be run again next week. And that will be Hal, who is the winner of the 1951 winner of the Coaching Club American Oaks. She was a brown filly by Prince Quilla out of the Squaw by Sickle. The second dam was Minnewaska, who was by Blanford, incidentally. The Squaw was an unraced mare, but a great producer. Our friend had something to write about him, too, Joe Palmer, about Hal, I should say. So I'm going to read a little bit about her from American Racehorses in 1949. Yeah, give me one of those cough pops. All right, here we go. The awarding of championships in the various divisions is perhaps inevitably determined by what is going on at the end of the season. A horse may show superb form in June, but this will do him no good when the balloting begins in October or November. For a time, it was considered that this was because most of the voting was done by sports writers, most of whom were not professional racing writers, except for a few big days. But when the racing secretaries began to constitute a board of selection, there was the same result. Had the secretaries voted in early June, there's hardly any question of how would have been chosen leading three-year-old filly. As it was, such division as existed was between Kiss Me Kate and Sickle's Image. There was not a single one of the 36 votes cast for Hal. Yet, in a very decisive fashion, she won the season's most important classic in her division. Hal came to the races with a somewhat complicated background. Her sire is Prince Quillo, a horse of peculiar international pedigree involving Belgium, France, and England, but raced entirely in America in the ownership of Prince Dimitri Jordazzi. He was primarily a stayer, winning the Saratoga Cup, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and the Questionnaire Handicap when it was 1 5/8. His reputation as a sire is already made by Hill Prince before Hal appeared. Hal's dam had roamed a bit too. The Squaw the Second, though, with an entirely English pedigree, had raced in Germany, where she won, and produced one winner, Bohemian, in France. Hal also roamed a little, though she stayed in one country. She was foaled on April 27, 1948, at the Runnymede Farm of Mrs. J. N. Camden near Paris, Kentucky, the farm then being under lease to Brutus Clay. Later, she was moved to Prince DeGeorge's Plain Dealing Farm at Scottsville, Virginia. As a yearling, in 1948, she was bought privately by Doug Davis, Jr., who was representing Herman Delman, a New York designer of ladies' footwear. Mr. Delman was comparatively new in racing, his first important victory having been Carnell's Merchants and Citizens Handicap in 1945. At that time, he raced as the Dell Stable with George P. Oldham training, but in 1951, he raced in his own name, and Hal was trained by Horatio Luro, the Argentinian who had also trained Prince Quilla during a part of his career. Hal was still not quite settled. At Saratoga in 1949, she was offered with some other yearlings, and Ed Houghton, acting as agent for an unidentified patron, bought her for $2,700. This was less than she had cost, and Mr. Delman, dissatisfied with the sale, authorized Mr. Davis to offer a purchaser a $500 profit. This was accepted, and she was back with the Dell Stables again. Now, Hal, in addition to winning the the Coaching Club American Oaks, and we find her over here, thanks to my friends over at Pedigree over at. Have I got the right one? I got Hal around here somewhere. Well, Pittsburgh, here it is. I'll be back as soon as I can get my acts together here. I'll give you a race record. Hal. At two, she had three wins. Then she won the Coaching Club of American Oaks and the Kentucky Oaks as a three-year-old. Ran second in the Top Flight, third in the Newcastle and Keeneland's Ashland Stakes. Came back as a four-year-old, won the Ladies Handicap. And at five, she was one second in the Tropical Park Handicap. That race is tracks no longer around anymore, everybody knows. Twice she ran third in the Ladies Handicap. They sent her to England as an age 16. Anyway, she equaled the track record at Belmont, going six furlongs, 108-1. Wow. Man, that's hauling it back at that time. Seven wins, three times seconds, and four thirds, and $157,000. Now, Hal's out of the Squall, who was also the dam at Cherokee Rose, another Prince Quillo mare that won the Coaching Club of American Oaks. I think she won it in 1954. Ran second in the Florida Oaks, and she produced some nice horses. She was the dam of Layaft, who went on placing a bunch of stakes, including, and she's a grand dam of Delay, who won the John B. Campbell Handicap, grade two, and the ancestress of a bunch of horses like Dazzling Monarch, and Smarter by the Day, and Climb the Stairs, Native Diablo, Fortunate Glinner, all kinds of black type down under there, including Ack-Ack. And, of course, it was a horse of the year, a champion sprinter, champion handicap, champion everything, champion sire, so forth. The Squall was also the dam of Cherry, that was of Sequoia, another Prince Quillo, who won the Spinaway. She produced six winners. She was the dam of Sham, who, of course, won the Santa Anita Derby and the Santa Catalina Handicap. Had the misfortune of being foaled the same year as Secretariat, but, you know, that's one of those things. Ran second in the Preakness and second in the Derby and also in the Wood Memorial. Sequoia was also the dam of Dendron, who won some stakes out on the coast. Grand dam of Princess Doubleday. It was a nice, Miss Princess Doubleday, who was the dam of Decidedly D, and so forth. Top pedigree. Let's see what else she had. Hal herself was the dam of Pocahontas. That was her first foal. And Pocahontas won the Schuylerville Stakes and was Broodmare of the Year. She was a dam of Tom Roth, of course, was a champion three-year-old colt of his year. He won the Preakness and the American Derby and so forth. She was the dam of Lady Rebecca, who won Group 3 Stakes in France, the dam of Chieftain, who was a top stakes winner, and an excellent sire. Stood down in, I'm pretty sure he stood all down in Florida. She was also the dam of Winona, who won the Blandford Stakes, Adik. Also under that pedigree is top stakes winners like Noble Saint and Rip On, Fiddler's Fair, Ballygoran. And that was her. Pocahontas was the first foal out of Hal. And much as the same as Wistful, that was her only foal that really amounted to anything. She came back and was barren the following year. Pocahontas was a foal of 55, and 56 was barren, 57. She had a Polynesian colt that didn't win. She had a horse named Miles Standish in the foal of 1958. He was by Olympia. And I believe he went to stud around here. I think Don Hardest, he had his farm, had that horse that stood out at his Bonnie Bray's farm many years ago. I believe that's true. At 60, a foal died. 61, a foal died. 62, she slipped. 63, barren. And 64, barren. So, other than Pocahontas, which was enough, good Lord. She didn't have anything else after that.
Can I mention something?
Can you mention something? Yeah.
Yes. Ann Boone just texted me and said she knows a young man's looking to work on a horse farm. Do we know anybody needing help? So I'm going to give out Ann's phone number if you people on farms need somebody. Her, Ann Boone's number is 661-2459.
Yeah, that's Lois Boone's sister, daughter-in-law.
Okay.
Yeah, and Charlie Boone. I remember Charlie real well.
Yeah.
Charlie died much too young, but...
nice family.
Oh, nice family. And Brian Boone is, of course, is the veterinarian. Craig Boone is... it's a nice, real nice family.
Yeah, okay. It's 661-2459.
Yeah. Charlie was quite an athlete, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, football, tennis, you name it.
Where did he go to school?
Golly, I can't remember. You left Cole Lewis and asked her.
Well, she's a nice lady.
Yeah, yeah. That Boonesboro farm, they still have that out on Newtown Pike.
Yeah.
As well
the boys
as
I run it, I think, Craig, mostly.
Yeah. Well, grade one winner shaking it up has joined the ranks of Stallions at Spencery Farm. Shaking it up won the grade one Malibu Stakes, the grade two Stroob, the grade two San Vicente, and $664,982. Pedigree abounds with championship performances. He's from the first crop by the popular Midlight Loop. Winner of the Eclipse Award as champion sprinter and of over $2,690,000. Now, shaking it up's dam is Silver Bullet Moon, a daughter of champion two-year-old Vindication. The son of the great Seattle Sioux was well on his way to becoming a top sire at the time of his early demise. Now, the second dam is Silver Bullet Day, champion of two, champion of three, winner of five grade one stakes, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies and the Kentucky Oaks. She earned more than $3 million. It's interesting to note that Silver Bullet Day is also the grandson of Governor Charlie, another son of Midnight Luke that won graded stakes, and he was second to Shaking It Up in the grade two Stroob. So they ran Midnight Lutes were 1-2 in that particular stakes race out at Santa Anita. And Shaking It Up's going to stand the 2015 season for $10,000. Payable when the foal stands and nurses. Now, they tell me that there are a few shares to the share of the upside contracts available at $12,500. Just a few of them left. So call the farm for details. And while doing so, ask about breeding on Southern Hemisphere time to some of the stallions out there at Spendthrift Farm. Reduce rates, incidentally, to those if you want to breed on Southern Hemisphere time. The number over at Spendthrift Farm is 859-294-0030. Just ask for Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty. We've got a couple of minutes here left. I want to remind everybody that there is a celebration of Dr. Doug Byers' life is today at 11 o'clock over at the Cardone in Georgetown. That's the old girls' school in Georgetown. Just the best way to get there. Excuse me. From Lexington, just get on Route 25 and keep going straight.
That Route 25 is the Georgetown Road. So you can go from town or you can get off New Circle Road and go out the Georgetown Road, go straight through town that way. If you go out the interstate, you get off at the first Georgetown exit and go down into town and go down past the courthouse at the stoplight and turn right. And it's not very far. It's not 4 or 5 miles. Is it? If it's that far, I bet it's 2 or 3. Because we rode over the other day just to make sure we knew where we're going because we didn't want to be late, after getting off the air. And you said, oh, I think it's way out in the country. Well, that's back in when he was dating those girls. And Georgetown had a population of 12. And at this point, it's a little bit bigger, but it's not very far. It's easy to get to, too, so... Not hard.
Yeah, you just cross the creek and it's on your left. Got all kinds of signs out there. Cardone.
Me. Cardone.
Cardone. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I don't know what that means, but it was a girls' school for about 75 years.
Yeah, well, remind everybody that the entries closed on August 1 for the November breeding stock sale out of Keeney. So if you're thinking about selling, you better call your people.
Yeah.
And get it done. Tomorrow they're running, in addition to the Coaching Club American Oaks in this country, they're running the Irish Oaks. It's drawing a field of 11. And I think that they said, I think I noticed they said it would be broadcast, televised at 12:45 hard boot time.
Which one? Both HRTV or TVG?
I imagine TVG carries it.
I don't know. It's interesting. TVG has more live programming in the morning. No, HRTV does, and TVG does a lot of those infomercials. But at the same time, TVG has been known to broadcast the Epsom, whatever it is, and all that stuff. So you can just
this is Irish Oaks.
Yeah, you can just go from one channel to. Now, where would that be? The Curra?
Or
do we know? Oh,
at the Curra.
I ain't been to Ireland.
Yeah, me either. All right, let's see. Winners from the training center this past weekend. Saddled by Stanley Inman, Luis Ferrado, Paul Garcia, Tommy Skinner, Eduardo Caramore, Luis Ferrado again, Scooter Hughes, and Chuck Hamilton. Luis was going to come on the show with me today if he could find time, but he had a horse in down at Ellis today, so I really didn't think he would make it, but I was hoping he would. We'll get him on sooner or later. Nice fellow. All right, well, we'll talk to you next week, and you can see this, I guess it'll be up on the website sooner or later, usually later.
Well, I have to say that there was something wrong with my computer, and it's being worked on and straightened out, because I put them up, but they wouldn't come up, you know.
All right, well, they're playing the bye-bye song, so I'm going to sign off. Thanks for listening.